Well, tonight we have another one of our graduates from Blessed Hope Baptist School, a young man that he told me he'd received Christ in 94. I could not remember the year. Got saved in 1994, and we had the privilege of watching Caleb grow and learn. And the last year, or well, probably a little over that, but he really, we saw him, I guess you would say God just got a hold of him. And we've seen him begin to mature and step up and begin to be the, help to be the leaders in the senior class. We've been proud, very proud of him, thankful. God got a hold of his heart and called him to preach. And he's up at Hiles Anderson College now preparing to preach the Word of God. Another bus kid. You saw another one last night. Paul Chapman. They're brothers. Amen. So we're very thankful tonight to have Caleb here. And Caleb, we've prayed for you. You'll do fine. And you just come and preach.
Right, it's good to be here tonight. I appreciate the privilege of standing behind this pulpit, one of which I can't describe to you, can't describe the privilege it is and the honor of standing behind this pulpit that a man of God has preached behind for 30 years in front of a congregation that he has helped grow, and I appreciate it. God has used him, and I appreciate the God of the man that has made him a good man. He is so good, and I appreciate him. I want to preach a message tonight that it can be applied to everybody in this room, but I want to focus on the younger people, my fellow young people, the ones that I grew up with, the ones that are under me, that have seen me and we've grown up together. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to the guys and girls alike. And I'm going to tell you about a story that God wrote down in his book, and every word is inspired. There's a reason for this story in the Bible, and I think it can be a help to us tonight. And we're going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, especially to the young people, but I think it can be a help to all of us. It's a story about Naaman, a great man that was prepared, and he accomplished some great things. Now let's start reading in verse 5. No, let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." And skip down to verse 14. "Then he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." In those two verses, we see the problem that Naaman was a leper. And in verse 14, we see the cure. Naaman got healed. The man of God said to do something, and he done it. Let us pray right now. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything that you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I need you to make my speech clear. I can't do anything without you. I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a story about Naaman. Naaman was a great man. He was under a king, but he was the king's main man. You could say he was the king's right-handed man. He sat right by the king. Him and the king were real close, but Naaman was a leper. He had a little girl, I don't know, maybe she was a teenager. It says she was a little maid that he had gotten from the from the nation of Israel, he captured her. And his nation captured some people and brought them back. And that little girl, that little maid, it doesn't say her name, but she seen that he was a leper. And she said, "Would to God that he, Naaman, my Lord, could get to the man of God in Israel. Would to God that he could get to him, because I know that he would be healed." And then somebody heard, maybe another worker, maybe another servant, heard what the little girl said. And he or she went to the king and said, "Lord, I know how Naaman can be healed. I know that if he goes to the prophet in Israel, he could be healed." So the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel and said, "I'm going to send my man, he's going to be with this letter, and I want you to get him healed." And the king of Israel rent his clothes, he prayed, and he said, "I'm not God, I can't heal anybody." Elisha heard this, and he rose up and said, "I want this man to know that there's a prophet in Israel." And that's where we're going to begin our story. Now, Naaman had a problem. And as we know, that being a leper or leprosy in the Bible is pictured as sin. Sin is a problem. Young people, I want to tell you something tonight. Sin will get you in trouble. Sin is a problem. It'll problem your life. You will have a problem if you get involved with sin.
Right.
Now, we have to realize that we have a problem before we can fix that problem. Now, I wonder why sometimes kids grow up and we get to a point in our life, and I'm including me because I'm your peer group. I can see where we are. We're right here. And the older men, they have been there. And I want to tell you that the problem you have to see before you can fix it. Now, you have to realize, what I'm going to say here is, the preaching helps you to realize your problem. The prophet of God, or the man of God, Pastor Ross, preaches behind this pulpit, and if you're not listening, you can't realize the problem. And sometimes I wonder, maybe because the problem never gets fixed with certain young people is because they don't listen during the preaching. They don't realize the problem. Sin is a problem. Naaman had to realize that he was a leper before he could get healed. He had to come to terms with that. Realize, number two, that there's a prophet. There's a man of God that can help you go where you need to go. There are people in this church that want you to get to a certain place in your life to where you say, "I trust in God, I want God's will, I am doing God's will," and they're here and they want to help you. Realize that there's a prophet, a man of God, that wants to help you. Elijah had to go to that prophet to get healed. If you have a problem, it's good to go to the man of God for help. He can help you. If you have a problem with a certain area in your life, let's say you can put anything in that blank. Maybe the problem is, I don't know, watching things you're not supposed to watch. Say, "Pastor Ross, give me a plan to where I can succeed in this area." Realize the problem and go to the prophet, the man of God. Maybe that problem is doing things that you're not supposed to do. Say, "Man of God, I need help. I've realized that I have a problem in this certain area, and I need your help." This man of God right here is willing, he wants, he needs, that's his job, is to help you. Realize your problem. And then go to the prophet. realize that there's pride. Pride makes us not want to do what the man of God says. Let me read a couple verses here quick. 11 and 12, it says, "But Nahum was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he was surely going to come out and he surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Nahum thought, "I deserve better than a servant to come out here and tell me what to do. I want the prophet to come out here and tell me." Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be pride that gets in your life and say, "I don't think this is the way to do it." He said, "There's another pool over here that is cleaner. Why can't I go to that pool?" Yeah. And he just about didn't get healed of his sin because of that pride inside of him that said, "I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way." And whenever young people look up to God and say, "I don't want to do it your way, God. I don't want to go to the prophet that God has set before me. I want to do it my way." There's always a problem with that. There's pride, and you're not going to get healed. We need the help of our pastor. That's what he's here for. We need to realize that pride is going to get in the way and say, anything that he says to do, I will freely do. Amen. Then he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Some people before that, let's just read it, says, "And the servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?" He said, you want some great act. You got pride. You want some great act to where you could say, you know, wow, look what he done. But just do what the prophet says to do, and you'll be clean. He had to take that pride and say, I would rather try what the man of God says to do than to fail and not be healed. This message, I basically wanted to just say a couple words and say, young people, we need to get behind our pastor and say, I will do the things that you tell me to do because I want to succeed. I want to get to the point that my parents want me to get to. I want to get to the point where my pastor wants me to get to. I want to get to the point where my assistant pastor wants me to get to because I want to live a happy life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for, Lord, showing us things in the Bible. Lord, I thank you so much for the clear teachings of the Bible. We need you. We need your man. I pray that this sermon will work on people's hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you.
It's wonderful to be here. I guess, look at this as my home. And I know many of you, and so many of you have told me how you pray for us, and it just stirs my heart, and I appreciate that. However, as nice as those wonderful things are that Pastor Ross said, he knows a couple of things on me, and he said, I won't say any bad thing if you'll read this poem that I wrote to my children. And so, with regret, I'm reading the poem that he wrote to his kids. I don't know. I know one's in there, and I don't know where the rest of them are at. But anyway, this is for his four children, and it's entitled, When I'm an Old Dad. Okay? All right. When I'm an old dad, I'll live with each kid and make them so happy just as they did. I want to pay back all the joy they've provided, returning each deed. Oh, they'll be so excited when I'm an old dad and live with my kids. I'll write on the wall with reds, whites, and blues, and bounce on the furniture wearing my shoes. I'll drink from the carton and then leave it out. I'll stuff all the toilets, and oh, how they'll shout when I'm an old dad and live with my kids. When they're on the phone and just out of reach, I'll get into things like sugar and bleach. Oh, they'll snap their fingers and then shake their head. And when that is done, I'll hide under the bed. When I'm an old dad and live with my kids. When they cook dinner and call me to eat, I'll not eat my green beans or salad, just meat. I'll gag on my okra, spill my drink on the table, and when they get angry, I'll run, if I'm able. When I'm an old dad and live with my kids, I'll sit close to the TV and through the channels I'll click. I'll cross both my eyes just to see if they'll stick. I'll take off my socks and throw one away and play in the mud till the end of the day when I'm an old dad and live with my kids. And later in bed, I'll lay back and sigh and thank God in prayer and then close my eyes. My kids will look down with a smile slowly creeping and say with a groan, "He's so sweet when he's sleeping." When I'm an old dad and live with my kids. All right. You say that's not very spiritual. I know, I didn't write it, so.
I didn't either.
Well, that's probably true, okay? I was here on Monday night, and I was blessed, and I'm serious about this. I was blessed. I got a copy of Brother Allen's book, and I've read most of it, and it stirs my heart. I hope you've had a chance to read it. And I was touched by the way that they said that they didn't know that God had touched each of their hearts, and they got together to write this. You probably didn't know, but God has touched my heart with Brother Ali, and we're writing a book together. It's not done yet. Brother Ali, I was here a year, and he always had pearls of wisdom that he'd have something to say in the back. And I thought, man, I've got to write these down. So I've spent time with him. His book is entitled Things I Have Learned. I've only got five of them or six that I can say. We've only got 300 pages done, and we need some more. But these are just some of the pearls of wisdom. You kids may want to write these down because these will help you to live when you get older. He said this, "I started out with nothing, and I still have most of it." I ask him, "Now that you're more mature, what can you tell us?" And he says, "Well, I want to tell you this, my wild oats have turned into prunes and all bran." Okay? He also said, "I finally got my head together, and now my body is falling apart." I don't know why, but... And I thought, oh, I'm going to use that one. I kept that one down. He said, "Only time the world beats a path to your door is when you're in the bathroom." And that's, he wanted us to know that. Is it okay to say bathroom in church? Is that all right? Okay. I didn't know if you were kind of one of those churches that were, okay.
We really are.
All right. He also said when it comes to exercise, he said, "If God would have wanted you to touch your toes, he would have put them on your knees." Okay? And then he finally said, and this is what I liked, he said, we talked about prophecy, and he said, these days I spend a lot of time thinking about the hereafter. I go somewhere to get something, and then I wonder, what am I here after? So... That book will be coming out. It'll be 1995. There'll be a lot of good things to have with it, and I know you will enjoy that. I can only do that because Brother Ali and I I can't tell you some of the things he used to tell me when I'd come in, really, but we had...
That's why I got to head up.
Yes, right. Well, I'm going to preach, enjoy this message, because it'll be the last time I ever preach, I know that. Two of my deacons are here, and I'm so glad they came. I asked them to come. I was here Monday night, and I was so touched by this pulpit, and I wanted them to see this, and we're going to try to have one made like it. And I thought, What is the secret of the success that Pastor Ross has? Here is a man that has 30 years, has done wonderful things, the church has been blessed, and what is the secret? I said, I'd like that. Elisha said, I want Elijah's mantle, and I said, I wonder what I could get that would be wonderful. And then I was here Monday night, and he told the story of the pulpit, and so I wanted one made, and I said, surely that must be it. Then God was speaking to me, and I said, you know, maybe it wasn't the pulpit, maybe it was the ants. So I brought some ants tonight to put on here, and we're going to put that here, and so they're not real ants, they really aren't. Okay, you say, are we going to preach tonight? Well, we're about done, actually, quite honestly, but if you had a good time, that's all that mattered. You had a good message the first part, and that's good enough. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. While you're turning there, I'll put this away. I will, as our custom is, and I know it's yours as well, we'll ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. I think I may have told you the wrong one at first, but it's Jeremiah 6, 13 through 16. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you we can come and we can have fun. But Lord, we come because we wanted to hear your word. God, I just ask that you would just anoint my lips and bless me, and that everyone that is here will get a blessing tonight. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is the last time I'm going to have anybody stand, but there is a reason for this, and it's not a joke. If you are 40 years old or older, would you please stand for just a minute? If you're 40 or older. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. When Blessed Hope started, some of you were 10, some of you were 15, some of you were 20, some 30, some 40, maybe someone even 50. Some of you had just started having families. Some of you had just finished having your families. Everyone that was there was in a different stage of their life. But God added to the church that started in the garage and blessed it mightily. It was blessed then as it will be blessed in the future, because why? A pastor, a man of God, stood and saw and asked for the old paths and walked therein. But if God tarries, where will this church be in 30 years? Pastor Ross will probably not be the pastor. It's very possible. I'm not saying he won't, but he probably will not be the pastor here in 30 more years. You that are out here that are 10, 12, 15, 20, 30 years old are going to be the ones that will be in the 40 plus crowd. You'll be the ones in 30 years that will be standing if some pastor is up here and said, well, anybody 40 and above, please stand. But the burning question that I want to address tonight, that I want each and every one of you to ask yourself, is this. Whether you be a youth, whether you be a senior saint, you must answer this. Will we be still asking for and walking in the old paths? Will you? Tonight I want to highlight, and I know of time, I've talked to Pastor Ross, I understand tomorrow's Sunday. I already told my deacons they still have to come to church tomorrow, even though they're here tonight. So the same goes for you guys, but I'll try to get you out. I want to highlight seven old paths that make a church blessed by God and ask you to decide, will I still want to walk in the old paths 30 years from now? The first old path that you must have and that you must understand, and it must be part of your life, is the old path of soul winning. The old path of soul winning. If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Hopefully you have this highlighted in your Bible. Isaiah 52, 7, and it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This church, as far as I know, I'm not sure if it's from the beginning, but I believe it probably was, has always had a teenage soul winning. The teenagers have gone out, and I know they go out on Wednesdays now, and bless God for that, but you have to ask yourself, 30 years from now, will my kids still go out and go soul winning? Will they still do it? As a pastor, and as Pastor Ross knows, he probably doesn't say a whole lot about this, you get around. I'll tell you what is separating most of the churches today, even the fundamental churches, a lot of them are not going out soul winning anymore. They're not going out door to door. They think people are going to come in. I had my name on the sign there, and I have yet to have one person come and say, you know what, I saw you were pastor here and I came on in. They just don't do it. But I've had a lot of people that I went and knocked on their door and won them to the Lord, and they came and they're coming to church. Teenage soul winning and adult soul winning. You know, sometimes as adults, we just say, let the teenagers do it.
Yeah.
Well, where do you find that in the Bible?
Right. It's not
you can't find it. I'll tell you what, it's good to let the teenagers do it, but these teenagers go off to college.
Yes,
they move away. So who's going to pick up the slack when they're gone? The adults need to go out there. People are dying and going to hell every day. I like statistics. I try to use only ones that I can verify. And it has been proven that every second, every time I snap my fingers, 40 people are dying and going to hell. That means if we get out of here at 9, and we'll be out before then, but if we were here till 9 o'clock, 2,880 people would have died and gone to hell while we're sitting in here.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot. When you're sleeping tonight, every single second, 40 people are dying and going to hell. We have to sit there and say, do we care? And I'm going to tell you what, if you have unsaved family members, how can you care about someone that you don't even know? It breaks my heart, and I have to do funerals where I know the person isn't saved. And I think, who got to him? Why didn't they talk to this person? We have to understand, we've got to go out and win souls. Most people get 4 to 5 chances to actually ever get saved. And after that, it's done. By the time you're 14 years old, 94% of anybody that gets saved will be saved. That means from 15 on, only 6% will ever get saved. Do we need to go after the kids? Yeah, we do. We do. If they come forward and you say, it's just a kid, don't do that. Say, praise God, I got them, because a few more years, you might not get them. We have to understand, are we going to go after souls? There was a family that comes to our church. I went out to their house every Saturday, because that's the only time I could catch them. His wife finally told me, look, I know where your church is. If we want to come, we'll come. I said, okay. I left them alone for a couple of weeks. They came because one of their relatives got saved, and they wanted to be there to watch him baptized. She came to the church. I went out and saw her that next week, and her daughter got saved.
Amen.
Kept going after her husband, kept going out and going out, and finally he got saved. And he said, you know what? He said, I told my wife, he says, this probably isn't right, but I just called you the tick. He said, because you're like a tick. Every time I thought you were gone, you came back. He said, it's just like a tick on a dog. He said, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad you did, because I'm saved. And he comes, and he's been a blessing to our church. Why don't we go out? Why? You say, well, people don't want to hear. A lot of them don't. You're right. But there's a lot that do.
Yes, sir.
and people are hurting. My, they are hurting. If you go out, I'll tell you what, if you go out and you pull your heart out and the person rejects Jesus, you cry. But you sit there and say, man, I've got to find somebody, because it breaks your heart that people don't want to accept the Lord. And then you think, how come? It's because nobody's going out. Nobody's going out. 30 years from now, when the teens are gone, or when only a few teens are here, because unless God does something wonderful and they send business into Jasonville, there's not a lot of stuff to keep people around. Who's going to be doing it? If you expect the teens to do it and they move away, who's going to step up and do it? This church was built on soul winning. It was the old path of soul winning. Fundamental churches are being separated day and night because some are soul winning, some are not. And it's becoming more and more, because why? Nobody wants to do it. There's still a hell. I preach on hell. My people probably hear about hell almost every service. Why? Because I don't want anybody to forget it. I don't want anybody to go home on Sunday and sit in the air conditioning and watch TV when there's people screaming and dying and they're in hell and they're suffering and there's other ones getting ready to join them. But what do? We sit back. Do you want the old path of soul winning? I hope you do. 30 years from now, if this church is still blessed, that's going to be one of the old paths that has to be followed. The second one is the old path of running buses.
That's right.
Do you still want to run those buses and pick up those bus kids?
That's right.
When the insurance is tripled, do you still want to say, well, those bus kids are worth it? You see, it's easy to do things when it doesn't cost much.
You're right.
But when it starts costing, are you still going to be there and be interested about bus kids?
Amen.
Praise God, I enjoyed your message tonight. I did. I thought that was good. But I'll tell you what stirred my heart more was because they said that you came in on the bus. And I thought, praise God for a church that looks at bus kids and says, hey, these guys are important. We want to bring them in. But 30 years from now, will you still do it? Will you still do it? You know, the ones that are working on the buses now in 30 years may not be able to do the job. I don't know how old they are. I'm not going to ask anybody. The only time I ever ask any ladies to tell me how old they are is when I know they're about 89 or 90, because they don't care. They just tell me, you can tell it, Pastor, I don't care, I'm 90. And I say, okay. Outside of that, no, I never ask anyone. But 30 years from now, whoever's on the buses, you may not be able to do the job. You may not be able to go and knock on the doors. You may not be able to help pick up the kids. And so if they can't, who's going to take their place?
Amen.
Who is it? I don't know. But somebody out here can sit there and say tonight, I'm going to enlist. I'm going to do that. I'm going to promise in my heart that if I'm still here, I'm going to help on the buses. And you can start now and then just keep on going. Are bus kids important? Yes, they are. We don't have a bus ministry, but we have three or four people that go out in our cars and pick kids up and bring them in. Are they worth it? Well, they're worth it to us. They're worth it to us. You see, we could get back and say, well, so-and-so's on the bus, that's their route. And so-and-so does this, and that's their route. And you know, I'll make the cookies. Well, that's good. But what about saying, hey, I'm going to go with you and learn how to do this? I'd like to go ahead and get on the bus route. I'd like to do something. My goodness, right here, if this was the only one that did turned out, it's worth all the money that you spend on the buses right there. When he gets preaching and when he has a church, if God doesn't come back, everyone that gets saved, you're going to get a blessing. Those bus workers are going to get a blessing because they cared about him. But we don't want to do that. 30 years from now, will there still be buses at Blessed Hope? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the workers they have now are not going to be in the kind of shape that they are exactly right now. They may not be able to continue on. And if somebody in their heart doesn't say, I will step in, I'm only 15 or 20 or whatever, I can do it, then you may not have any buses. The third thing on the old path that you have to ask for that I know Pastor Ross did, and he asked for so many. I just tried to hit some of the ones that I know God expects us to do. He asked for and walked in the old path of standards. The old path of standards. 30 years from now, what kind of music's going to be here? You're still going to have the songbooks? Are you still going to hear there's power in the blood? Jesus paid it all?
Yes.
Or is there going to be a big screen come down and there's going to be words up there and there's going to be a praise band going on? And you sit there and you say, that won't happen here. Well, I'll tell you what. You talk to anybody that has a growing church and you ask them, how are you doing it? Here's what they're going to tell you. Not preaching, not soul winning, not buses. It's the music.
Yes,
we're getting them in because they can go. It's like going to a concert at church, but it doesn't cost anything. The young people come in, they like it. I love Brother Benefield. He knows this. He's our song leader. Our people have to put up with me sometimes when he's gone, and they always cry and stuff. And they always say, Pastor, we love you, but you realize you can't sing. And I say, I know. And they say, well, we'll try to help you out. And then he comes back and they hug him and kiss him and ask him, can we give you something, you know. But I'll tell you what, we have songbooks and we always will. As long as I'm pastor there, we will not have a praise band. We will not have any kind of screen coming down. Because I believe this, we may not grow as fast, but I'll tell you what, when we grow, I know it's God doing it. And it's not Satan bringing in his group and saying, here's what we're going to do. Bless God, that's what Pastor Ross did. And I know it hasn't been easy. I know there's times when he told me, and it stirred my heart, you had to sing a solo one time, didn't you? Bless my...
Yes, I did.
Amen. And you're still pastor, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so I felt good. I know, I felt good at... I think of that every time I have to lead the singing. I say, breath, praise God. Brother Ross made it so I can do it. I'll talk to you guys later. We're having a nice conversation. What it is this. You're going to have to decide. I'm joking, but you're going to have to decide 30 years from now, will you still have that music here?
Yes.
Or are you going to be influenced and say, we can't afford to lose this group or that group, or we can't get the teens, and we know that's a lie from the pit of hell, but are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? There are churches that are doing it now. Why? Because they said, we couldn't do it any other way, and you're right, you can never do it any other way. It's always God that's going to do it. But you've got to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the same dress code that you have?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Ross will never say this, but it hasn't been easy, and he has lost families that were considering this church or maybe come to this church because he said, I'm going to preach what the Bible says, how ladies should dress, how men should dress, and I'm going to let God honor it. And if I lose some, it's going to break my heart, but I'm going to do it. And there's been some people leave, I know. I don't know the names, but I just know because it goes with the territory that has broken his heart because it came down to the dress code. Now, you say, does everybody in your church wear a dress? No, they don't. And if we have people that come in and they aren't dressed the right way, they feel just as welcome as anybody else, okay? And we love them and they know it. But they get to hear about dressing properly, they get to hear about what they should be having on and how, why the difference is. But 30 years from now, who knows what the fashion's going to be? What are you going to do? So you've got to make in your mind, when Pastor Ross isn't here, it's not that you can say, well, Pastor Ross is gone, so I guess it's okay. It still is. What does God say? And you've got to make in your mind, I don't care if Pastor Ross is gone or if he's here, I'm doing it because that's what the scripture says.
Yes.
30 years from now, will you be bringing in on Sunday night movies and showing them in order to get a crowd? And I'm not against Christian movies, don't get me wrong. But you know what? You can't find any good ones out there anymore. You really can't. They had them in the 50s and 60s, and now it's taken over by Pentecostals or whoever TBN is. I think they're Satan's crowd, quite honestly, but that's my own opinion. But are you going to go ahead and say, we're not going to preach on Sunday night, we're just going to show a movie and go home? Yeah. Are you going to close on the holidays? You know, we have a church by us, and it's growing big time. In fact, they're having to build. But every holiday, they close on Sunday night. Yeah. Every holiday, they'll be closed here on Memorial Day. I asked, could I be a pastor? I thought, man, that's a good deal. He gets to close up, gets all the holidays off. Wednesday nights, I don't think he does much on that. That's a good deal. No, that I didn't ask for that. I'll tell you what, though, I always let our people know we're open on Sunday night. I don't care what holiday it is. Just like you guys, we were open on Christmas. We were open on New Year's. Didn't matter. You say, why? It's Sunday or Wednesday. We're just open. But 30 years from now, a lot of you aren't going to be here. So the group that is going to be here, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and say, well, you know, I kind of like to have Sunday night off. Let's tell our pastor, let's just close up. Or are you going to sit and say, no, we're going to be open. We're going to be open. The old path of standards, morality, where they're taught you wait until you get married before you kiss a woman or you have anything to do with her. You have morality and that you are have standards, that you keep your word and you're taught this from the pulpit. Or you're going to sit there and just say, well, we're whatever's convenient. The heartbreak is when you deal with people that have done whatever's convenient. And then they come to you and they say, Pastor, my life's a mess. Can you help me? And you say, yeah, I can help you, but it won't be what it was before. It won't be what it was before, and we'll work with you. And then they tell you every single time, I wish I would have waited, or I wish I wouldn't have done or got involved in what I was. I wish I'd have listened to mom and dad. I wish I would have listened to the pastor. I wish I would have done this. But that's not real popular to preach, I'll tell you that. You don't get a lot of amens. You don't get a lot of people saying, hey, that's a good message. Boy, that's good. And the young people don't usually come up. This group probably would, and that's great. But a lot of them don't come up and say, that's good. That's good preaching. I'm going to do that. The old path of standards. Here's one that's a tough one. I won't get through all of mine tonight, but I'll just pick out a couple that I think are good. This one I am going to spend some time on, and that's the old path of praying without ceasing. We don't even have to wait 30 years for that, because I'll tell you what, that's the greatest deficit we have in independent fundamental churches, and that's prayer warriors. Yes. Prayer warriors. Yes. I have an 89-year-old lady comes to every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Never misses. Drives herself on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. One of my deacons picks her up, and she comes with him. It's just hard because I love her a lot. But this 89-year-old lady prays night and day for our church and for me. And if there's a prayer going on, she's praying tonight. I called and said, would you pray for your pastor and pray that God will use me to touch some hearts? And she said, I'll be glad to do that, Pastor. She'll be praying probably because she doesn't know what time will be done, so she'll probably be praying till quarter till or 9 o'clock. If I call her and say, will you please pray, I have to call her back once I know the answer, because she'll pray through the night. If I call her at 5 in the afternoon, she'll pray until the next day, and she'll keep on praying until I call and say, okay, God's already answered. You see, you may not be young where you can walk, where you can go knock on doors, but man, I'll tell you, there's something about having older people that just say, Pastor, we're praying for you. Right. You can count on us to pray, and we know God's going to do something because he answers prayer. Amen. I have a 90-year-old lady in our church. You said, do you have any young people? I got a couple 70-year-olds. So, no, I've got some. But God blessed me with some older ones. I had a lady that was 89 that just passed away a couple of months ago, but this lady's 90. had to go to the hospital and got to come home, and I called her this week. Bad thing about being a pastor is that you have, and our church, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. Our church isn't that big, but you get busy. And you don't get to get over to see everybody like you'd like to. And so I called this lady. She was home from the hospital. I'd seen her over there. And she said, "I was just thinking about you, Pastor." And she said, "I was just thinking, I sure would like to hear your voice." And I said, "Well," so I spent some time talking to her on the phone and went over and saw her. And then after I got off the phone, I thought, I wonder how many times God says, "I was just thinking about you. I sure would like to hear your voice." You know, she touched my heart because I thought, who am I? I'm nothing great. But to her, she would like to hear my voice just to have me joke with her and talk to her. I thought, my Heavenly Father, who loves me and died for me, says, I sure would like to hear your voice today. We need the old paths of praying without ceasing. We can see, you know why our country has fallen apart is because we quit praying. We quit praying. We can do it all. We can charge this, so we don't need God for this. We can work overtime, so we don't need God to provide this. What happened in the old days where you got on your knees and said, "God, I don't know how I'm going to pay the electric bill, but I've done everything I can." And God says, "All right, let me just show you a miracle. Let me do something for you." Tell you what, your kids never forget when they know mom and dad and maybe the whole family was praying and God answered that prayer, and they sit there and say, "Oh, I can do it when I get on my own. I know what to do." Because why? I saw God do it when I was growing up. We need the old path of prayer without ceasing, and we don't need to wait 30 years for that. We need to do that right now. We need to be praying. I don't know how much you pray for your pastor. I hope you pray every day. You cannot have enough prayer, but I'll tell you what. I hope that you have a prayer life. I hope you have a list and you have people that you pray for salvation, for whatever it is. But if nothing else, just to get on your knees and say, "God, I want to thank you, and I know it doesn't mean much probably, but I want you to hear my voice. And I just want you to know how much I love you." I'm just going to mention these other ones before I get to it. There's the old path of sacrifice, and so many of you have sacrificed financially and with your health and with your time. There's the old path of a Christian school, and that was touched on last night, I know, and probably I didn't get to be here. I was with one of our members who had to see a terrible, terrible accident go on, and I tried to help him out with that and with the family that was involved. But the old path of keeping a Christian school, don't ever let it go. Don't ever let it go. Finally, the old path of the King James Bible.
Amen.
Don't ever give it up. I preached on that. There is, just so you know, it's not out yet, so don't go try to buy it at the bookstore and order it. I know Brother Ali was asking about it. It's not out yet. There's a Bible coming out where they have pictures of... And this is the gospel truth. They have pictures of models, and some of them are naked and stuff, and different ones trying to depict certain Bible stories so that people will pick it up because they figure they won't read the Bible, but they might look at the pictures. They can't find anybody to publish it. It's coming out of Sweden, but as soon as they do, it's going to hit the market.
Sad.
We have the non-inspired version. We have the RSV, we have the NASV, we've got, you name it, there's one come out, there's one just for men, there's one just for women. There's a gender neutral Bible that's out there, so that way you don't get offended. God is just, it's not man or woman, it's just it. You know, I preached to our people and bless God, it wasn't a problem. I think they were all using the King James, but I wanted to give them some information on why we use it, why it's important, why it's inspired. It's been that way ever since Brother Ross has been here, I'm sure. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. That's the old path. When you go through this, I want to tell you this. I have never, never, never seen anybody one to Jesus Christ using the NIV or any other version. You say, does that mean they weren't? I don't know. I've just never seen it. I've never seen it. But I've seen hundreds where I've took God's Word, the King James Bible, and showed them. I was at a hospital. I think it was, Union. was going to show a lady how to be saved. She wanted to get saved. And they had a Gideon Bible, and it was the NIV. And I said, I normally don't do this, but will you trust me? And she said, yes. I put the Bible away, and I just quoted the Romans Road verse by verse, and she got saved. Why? Because I'm not going to use something like that, because she wouldn't have got saved. It's not the inspired version. Stick with it. Somebody's got to say, I'm going to stand up, and 30 years from now, we're still going to use the King James Bible. That's going to be it. I want to close with this. 30 years from now, these old paths, are they still going to be asked for? You have to decide that. You can't wait till then to decide. If you're going to wait until you turn 40, 45, 50, or 55 to decide what you're going to do, it's too late, because it's going to come in. It's going to overpower you. You've got to decide tonight. Some of the choicest servants of Blessed Hope have already passed on. There's a couple that have gone since I've left. And there's others in 30 years that won't be here. For God to continue to bless this church, someone has to take the place of those that won't be here. Somebody's got to do it. You can't sit back and say, I'll let so-and-so do it. What about you? What about you? Will you take their place? Or like the Israelites, are you going to say, I will not walk therein? You can't force me, preacher. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait and see what's going to happen. Let somebody else do it. You've got to decide tonight. The future, and I mean this with all my heart, the future of Blessed Hope is going to depend on what you that are not 40 plus decide to do. And you that are 40 plus, are you doing all you can? Or are you sitting back? I got an 89-year-old lady that's on her knees, been on her knees since 7:45. She'll be on her knees another 15 minutes praying, God, bless my preacher and bless the people there, that they'll make the right decision and do something great. 89. If she can do it at 89, I think some of us that are 75 and 80, we can at least be prayer warriors. Amen. We can at least do that. 30 years from now, and they have a 60th anniversary, what kind of church is this going to be? It's up to you. Pastor Ross.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Simpson. Let's stand. Once again tonight, we've been challenged from God's Word with a message on the old paths. And I appreciate that very much. And you know what he's been saying. You know, it's going to take people stepping up. Your pastor's preached this for probably the last year or two. I've said to you, young people, you're going to have to step up. I'm not talking to just the teenagers. I'm talking about them, but I'm talking about young folk here in this church, young couples. They're going to have to step up. Make a decision. You know, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to help keep it what it's been, and we're just going to go with it. Amen. Because time passes on. You've heard your preacher preach this. Brother Simpson preached it tonight. You know, and folks, it takes a decision to do that. You can't just step back and look around and say, well, I wonder who's going to do it. We'll just see who's going to do it. No, you need to make a decision. You need to determine in your heart that this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be part of it. Say, I'm only one. That's all right. It starts with one. Amen. I'm going to be there just to back it up. I'm going to be for those old paths, and we're just going to go on for God. Amen. Should be here tonight. You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. We want to extend unto you an invitation that Jesus loves you so much. Went to an old rugged cross to die for you. Was buried and rose again that you might have eternal life. Loves you very much and wants to save your soul.